We don't think of this very often. We often think of our sins as a very private affair. Our sins, as strange as it may sound, are an ecclesial affair. Which doesn't mean that everybody's supposed to know. It just means that it affects the whole church. When I have lacked in love, I affect all of my brothers and sisters. Our sins impact the whole body of Christ. Not just the persons whom I did not love, the specific persons, but beyond them, the whole mystical body. Okay, which is not to be describing the law of karma by any stretch. Okay, this is quite simply the reality of divine love in the mystical body. The reality of divine love in the mystical body. As we read in the Catechism, number 1488, nothing has worse consequences, this lack of love, for sinners themselves, the church, and the whole world. The whole world. If such is the case, and we're making our way towards the fittingness of there being ministers of reconciliation, if such is the case, reconciliation with God is inseparable from reconciliation with the church. Are you following me? Reconciliation with God is inseparable from reconciliation with the church, and vice versa. Reconciliation with the church is inseparable from reconciliation with God. So we begin to see that, so ministers represent the church to me. Ministers represent the mystical body. They represent those whom I hurt. So maybe it makes sense that I turn to this minister as regard the consequence of my sin regarding the whole church. They represent those whom we hurt, and we turn to them concretely, they coming to us in the name of our brothers and sisters. There may be another added bonus, I like to think. We have a difficult time believing sometimes that we are forgiven. I think all of us, there are days where I'm not really so sure because I'm not feeling anything, and the same ugly thing is actually tempting me, maybe 15 minutes after confession. Really effective. We have a hard time believing sometimes that we're forgiven. In the sacrament of reconciliation, we hear with our own ears that we are forgiven. It's terribly reassuring to hear with our own ears that we are forgiven. We who struggle at times to believe that we are forgiven. There's also another aspect which I think is important, and that is confessing to an instrument of God humbles us in a unique way. And humility further opens the heart. And a further opened heart means a heart that can receive more. You see, the more humble we are when we approach God to seek forgiveness, the more our hearts open and the more He can pour forth into our hearts His merciful love, which heals our hearts. And it's true, I don't think anybody would deny that, it's very humbling going to a priest or going through a priest. We never become quite totally accustomed to it, so don't worry. Thomas Aquinas also interestingly says the following, and we'll maybe get into this a little bit later. The penitent, in confessing to an instrument, expiates the repercussions of his sins by undergoing the embarrassment of confession by the power of the keys. I give you the keys of the kingdom. By the power of the keys to which he submits, and by the penance that the priest gives to him according to the kind of sins made known in confession. So the next question is, what exactly is this act of confession, the key act that I must do in order to experience Jesus in this way? What is the act of confession? St. Gregory the Great, who died in 604, says that confession is the opening of the wound. Confession is the opening of the wound. St. Augustine, who died about 200 years earlier, says that confession lays bare the hidden disease by the hope of pardon. Lays bare what was not loving, moved by the hope of forgiveness. And Thomas Aquinas says regarding hope that, and this is very important, confession presupposes love. And he who has love is moved by hope. Hope, rather than fear, is the real cause of confession.